as we pray for men and women in the military as they serve our country. We want to, of course, see the fighting come to an end. There's been a war against terrorism for some time, has there not? And this is a difficult enemy to really know as they hide themselves and, of course, come into our country and set off a bomb, and some have even blown themselves up thinking they're going to go to paradise, and how mistaken they are. But the more we can learn about our enemy, whether it's terrorist or whoever, of course the wiser the country would be, especially in the military. But we're wanting to focus this morning on a spiritual aspect of knowing our enemy. You see, 2 Corinthians 2:11, for example, 2 Corinthians 2:11, lest Satan should get an advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. We know how he tempts us, lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He uses corrupt government. He uses false religion. He uses worldlyism, of course, to get us away from God. And we need to know those devices. And the more we can understand about Satan, how he operates, the better off we are in staying faithful to God. So, as we want to begin this morning our study with this question, what would you do if you were the devil? So we should know about our, you know, how our enemy operates in the physical sense and anticipate their moves. Well, that's not only with terrorists, but that's with our main enemy. Of course, as we're wanting to study this concerning Satan, our adversary. So we'll want to begin that study in just a moment. Hello, I'm Bob Hawkins, and for the Morgan Street Church of Christ, we welcome you this morning to Preparing for Eternity. We keep repeating this, but it bears repeating. Remember those initials, PFE. Think about that. That reminds us that we should be preparing for eternity every day of our lives. Now, I want to take this opportunity to invite everyone to join in with us here at 540 East Morgan Street here in Martinsville as we come together to study God's precious Word in our Bible classes, of course. But then as we assemble together to worship God, we're striving to do so with a proper attitude, but also following the New Testament pattern God has given us. That's following John 4:24. They that worship God must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So that's what we're striving to do. Now, let me mention this. If you would like to study the Bible together, we would love to set that up at your convenience. And also, we have Bible correspondence courses that we can send free. And if you had a Bible question or questions, comments, positive or negative, again, you can write to us at address 540 East Morgan Street, Martinsville, Indiana, 46151. It's the zip code and our office phone number. Area code 765-342-6027. And our website address, www.morganstreetchurchofchrist.org. Let me mention again the gospel meeting that begins today. It's the Stop 11 Road Church of Christ at the corner of Five Points and Stop 11 there in Indianapolis. And the speaker is Brother Neil Pollard. And their services, I know from Monday through Wednesday would be 7 p.m. And so you can look up online the services for Sunday today, the Lord's Day. Well, let's get into our study now. what would you do if you were the devil? And we're starting out with 1 Peter 5, verses 8 through 10. 1 Peter 5, 8 through 10. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary the devil as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. So he has some limitations. He's walking about. Notice that. But he is trying to devour us. Notice. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. That would be having obeyed the gospel. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. We're not alone in this, of course. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that you have suffered a while, temporary, make you perfect, mature in the faith, in other words, complete, established. To be established is to be root with roots, grounded, strengthened, settle you. We want to be settled, not moving about to and fro. So we see here that Satan, he's as a roaring lion, devouring it. So he attacks. But let's notice some other characteristics that need to be brought out. Genesis 3:1, of course, Satan goes undercover and hides as the serpent. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden? In other words, he's warning Eve to doubt God's goodness. She could eat of all the trees in the garden, but not the one, the tree in the middle with, of course, the knowledge of good and evil. God said not to eat of that tree. And so that's how Satan operates undercover, hiding who he is. He didn't say, I'm a fallen angel, having rebelled against God and cast out of heaven, did he? But notice now 2 Corinthians 4:4. 2 Corinthians 4:4. In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He wants us to close our minds to the truth. He wants us to, and notice, he's the God of this world, the prince of darkness. So he blinds. And then, going to chapter 11, still in 2 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 14. And no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Well, that's deception. So he deceives, he blinds, he's, you know, as a roaring lion, he's going to devour you if you allow that to happen. So we need to be on guard of these scriptures. Again, we're asking, what would you do if you were the devil? Well, in answering that question, I would say, number one, I would attack the home. By getting children to be disrespectful to their parents, I could cause turmoil in the home. You see that back in Deuteronomy 21:18-21. If you want to study that later, Deuteronomy 21:18-21. Now notice in the New Testament, Romans 1:30, backbiters, haters of God, disrespectful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. Well, we have a lot of that, do we not? Every time you go to the store, what do you generally see? Some child wanting to get some candy or whatever, or a toy, and the parent is not in agreement, but the child continues to holler out and remember what would have happened when I was growing up. I can tell you that did not work. Oh, no. Not at all. But let's go on. I think we should be able to see attacking the home is how Satan does operate. And he not only getting children disobedient to parents, but what about reversing the role of the husband and the role of the wife? That's another way to attack the home. Ephesians 5:23. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. God has given husbands and wives different roles. The wife is to be in submission. It's not demeaning, because Jesus submitted to his Father's will and became flesh, the Word did. That's not a demeaning role. The husband is not to be a dictator, but he's to make the decisions that are best for his family, not for himself, but for his family. That's the role that God has given us. Notice Titus 2:5. To be discreet, chaste, keepers at home, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. So, of course, Satan wants to reverse the roles. Now, what about divorce? If that comes commonplace among people, as Satan wants to certainly attack the home, he can destroy many Christian homes as well. Think about that. Vows before God should not be made lightly. Yet people are getting divorces without scriptural grounds every day. And it's affecting children, isn't it? We know it is. Not only the husband and wife that are in this tragic situation, but children certainly suffer because of it. I want us to go now to Matthew 19:9, because this is the scriptural grounds God has given for putting away one's spouse, if you're the innocent party. Matthew 19:9, notice what Jesus said, "And I say unto you, whosoever shall put away his wife, except it be for fornication," that's the exception, unfaithfulness, having relations with someone outside the marriage, "and shall marry another, committeth adultery. And whoso marrieth her which is put away doth commit adultery." How many religious groups today just ignore this as if it's not in the Word of God? Matthew 5:31-32, Matthew 5:31-32, Mark 10:1-12, Mark 10:1-12, these are other passages to study. But let's stay with the Word of God and understand our enemy is attacking the home. Number two, if I'm the devil, I would attack the church. By attacking the nature of the church, I could cause much confusion by teaching there's more than one way to heaven. Well, when Jesus said, "I will build my church," Matthew 18:16, there it is. He didn't say he was going to build churches, but my church. That's the church we need to be a part of. Jesus said, "I am the truth, I am the way, and the truth, and the life. And no man cometh unto the Father but by me. I am the way." How many ways are there to heaven? Jesus said there's one. John 14:8. We better stay with what the Lord said. But let's notice another scripture, Matthew 7:13-14. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus stated again, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth" where? "To destruction. And many, many there be which go in thereat." That's the majority. "Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it." I want to be of the few. How about you? If we're going through the broad gate, you carry whatever you want to carry with you. You can go right in. And that way, the wide gate, that is, and then the broad way. But again, where is it leading? We want to understand the straight gate. You can't just carry everything in there. You got to give up sinful ways and accept God's will. And that narrow way goes to heaven. And we should be on that road now. But again, if I'm Satan, I would attack the church, and I would attack the identity of the church. I could remove the ancient landmarks like they had in Deuteronomy 19:14. Notice Deuteronomy 19:14, thou shalt not remove thy neighbor's landmark, which they of old time have set in thy inheritance, which thou shalt inherit in the land that the Lord thy God giveth thee to possess it. You see, the point is, just as we have property lines today, do we want our neighbor to build a fence 5 feet onto our property, giving him more space? Well, you see, the landmark was important. It wasn't to be removed. Now, this is a physical example, but it makes a spiritual application. Notice Hosea 5:10. Hosea 5:10. The princes of Judah are like them that remove the landmark. I will pour out my wrath upon them like water. God doesn't want his ways messed with and moved about, changed up. You see, the church, if it would become like the denominations around it, as Israel, see, was to be holy and separate from those pagan nations, not to become like them. We're not to become in the Lord's church like other religious groups that have things that are unscriptural. And it's attractive, entertaining. But you see, we're not to add nor diminish from God's commandments. All of us need to focus on this. Deuteronomy 4:2. Deuteronomy 4:2. Now, it's the Old Testament, but we're going to see also in the New Testament. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall you diminish aught from it, for that you may keep the commandments of you, the Lord your God, which I command. Now, this principle is still today under the law of Christ. Let's go to the Revelation, the last book of the Bible, Revelation 22:18-19. Revelation 22:18-19. For I testify unto every man that heareth the words of the prophecy of this book, if any man shall add unto these things, God shall add unto him the plagues that are written in this book. And if any man shall take away from the words of the book of this prophecy, God shall take away his part out of the book of life, and out of the holy city, and from the things which are written in this book. The context, of course, is what was written in the Revelation, as John, the inspired writer, is the one that's revealing God's word here. Now, the point is, this still applies to all of God's word. We're not to add to the doctrine of Christ or take away from it. You see, how we're to worship God, the organization of the church, the work of the church. Are we just to do whatever we want there? No. Those are the landmarks we're talking about here that are not to be moved. Stay with the pattern that God has given us is the point. But if I'm Satan, what am I going to do? I'm going to attack the very identity of the church. Now, here's something else Satan would no doubt be involved in, and of course he is, by attacking the unity of the church. I could cause strife and division. You see, in Psalm 133:1, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Well, that's certainly the case under the law of Christ. Let's go to Philippians 2:5. You see, again, if Satan could destroy the love for one another that Christians are to have, they wouldn't be of the same mind at all, would they? But Philippians 2:5 tells us, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. We're to be like-minded. We're to be made in the image of Christ, as he left us the example in the New Testament. If we're to follow Christ, what should we be doing? Following his example. Let's look at John 13, 34 and 35. John 13, 34 and 35. Jesus said, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another." How, Jesus? "As I have loved you." That's making it different. To love as Jesus loves. You see, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. But if Satan can get the unity of the church to be not unity but division, what's that going to do? Well, and here's something else. If I can get the people's minds on pleasure and entertainment, I would be hurting the mission of the church. You see, in Hebrews 11:25, the great hall of faith, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses chose right. But how many are choosing pleasure that's sinful, and even though it's just for a season? It doesn't last. That's not fulfillment. But doing the will of God, that is true fulfillment. And we have peace of mind that passeth all understanding. You see how Satan works, though? The work of the church, for example, "Go ye and preach the gospel unto all nations." Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We're to preach the gospel to everyone as possible. When we have opportunity, especially, take advantage of it. And Mark 16:15, of course, to finish out verse 16, "He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned." So we're to do the work of the church in evangelism. But here is another one. And this is Ephesians 4:12. "For the perfecting of the saints," that's maturing, isn't it? Perfecting. "For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So we're to encourage one another. Edification is a work of the church. Evangelism, now edification, we're seeing. What else? Benevolence. Benevolence. "As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially them who are of the household of faith." Now that's Galatians 6:10. Yes, Galatians 6:10. That's doing the work of benevolence. Now there's no other work for the church to be doing. That's it. Those three. Let's stay with God's pattern. We're not to build entertainment centers and gyms to draw in people, but exalt Jesus Christ and Him crucified. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoso believeth in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. John 3:14-16. John 3:14-16. Do we believe that? That's the exalting of Christ that we need to stay with. But quickly, let's go on. If I was the devil, I not only would attack the home, not only would I attack the true church of the Bible, but I would attack the Word of God, of course. By creating doubt about the Bible's inspiration and authority, I could cause much havoc in the church. You know, modernists have been trying to do this for years, attacking the miracles in the Scriptures, denying authorship of the inspired writers, some advocating thought inspiration. Some are saying the truth cannot be found in the Bible only after removing the myth things like this. That's how Satan is attacking the Word of God. So who do we believe? Jesus said to those Jews who believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. In John 17:17, Jesus prayed, John 17:17, sanctify them through thy truth, thy words. Thy word is truth. Notice that. Thy word is truth. So the Bible claims for itself that every word is inspired of God. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction unto righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, mature, that is, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. Note that. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. That's what the Bible claims for itself. Every word is inspired of God. It contains all things unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 1:3. But if I'm the devil, by attacking the messenger of God's word, gospel preachers, if I can attack that gospel preacher who may be having some doubts and get that foot in the door, get them to become discouraged and quit preaching the truth, I've accomplished my goal. You know, Satan wants that. Of course he's attacking the Word of God and the messenger who's preaching the Word of God. Remember what God told Ezekiel? Ezekiel 2:5-7. And they, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are a rebellious house, yet shall know that there hath been a prophet among them. And thou, son of man, be not afraid of them, neither be afraid of their words. Though briars and thorns be with thee, and thou doest well among scorpions, be not afraid of their words, neither nor be dismayed at their looks, though they be a rebellious house. And thou shalt speak my words unto them, whether they will hear or whether they will forbear, for they are most rebellious. Preachers of the gospel, let's continue to preach the word in season and out of season. That's right. So we've learned about our enemy. Excuse me. He's attacking the home, the church, and the word of God. We can be assured of that. Now, whose side are we on? Jesus said, he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth. Matthew 12:30. Let's be sure that we're not of those who Jesus said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. John 8:44. Let's resist steadfast in the faith. Yes, Satan can't make us do anything. He's the tempter. Now, let's be determined not to give place to Satan and his tactics. But we stand ready to assist anyone in obeying the gospel, and we want to thank you so very much for listening today.